Hi, I'm Laura from Hudson at the Hudson Farmers Market. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM Hands-On Radio.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM. WGXC.
Investing in local community spaces and media is more important than ever right now. Wave Farms WGXC Radio for Open Ears is committed to providing a platform for independent perspectives and creative expression in New York's Upper Hudson Valley. And in 2026, we're working to ground our WGXC Catskill studio as a nexus point for our community to create, learn, and come together. And we need your help. Our goal is to raise $10,000 to make this a reality. Go to wgxc.org/donate now to make your contribution. We thank you for your support.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Catherine of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. We're on the airwaves every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. We pick a theme to watch movies around and then we get on the airwaves to talk about it. But before we get into our theme for tonight, we're going to tell you about what's playing in theaters in our listening area. I'll start by telling you what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Five Nights at Freddy's 2, Zootopia 2, and Wicked for Good, all sequels. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Avatar, Fire, and Ash, all sequels. You can find out more about what's playing and how to get there and all that stuff at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Film, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Hamnet and The Business of Fancy Dancing, close up with director Sherman Alexie via Zoom. And then heading down to Kingston at the new Upstate Midtown screening room, we have Whisper of the Heart, the Studio Ghibli movie, Teenage Wasteland, The Voice of Hind Rajab, The Beaches of Agnes, Islands, and BLKNWS, Terms and Conditions. And then, last but not least, for Upstate, we have at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, Sentimental Value, Wicked for Good, An Evening with Ron Carter, The Keeper, close-up with director John Bauermaster. Oh, looks like it's about the lighthouse. Interesting. Ooh. Something to think about. Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair. That's when they do all of it, I think.
Yep, that is.
And then The Nutcracker at Weathersfield, close up with director Annie Sundberg via Zoom. And if you're interested in any of these movies or special events, you can find out more information at upstatefilms.org.
All right, heading on over to Hudson. There's more to say about what's playing here in Catskill, but I'm going to save that for last. Heading on over to Hudson at the Spotlight Theater on Fairview Avenue. That is the 8-screen theater. We have Fackham Hall, Five Nights at Freddy's 2, Merrily We Roll Along, Eternity, Zootopia 2, Wicked for Good, Now You See Me 3, Now You See Me, Now You Don't See Me.
Wait, you want to run that one by me again?
Now You See Me, Now You Don't, Now You See Me 3, Nuremberg, Christina Aguilera concert movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Dick Van Dyke 100th celebration, Not Without Hope, Ella McKay, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and David Early Access. And that's it for right now, but you can check out more by going to spotlighttheater.com and selecting the Hudson location from their menu.
All right, sticking around in Hudson, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. We have You Got Gold, a celebration of John Prine. It Was Just an Accident. If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Little Trouble Girls. Put Your Soul on Your Hand and Walk. Auction. The Letter. Friendly Persuasion. Sunset Boulevard. And Ninotchka. And if you're interested in any of these films, you can find out more information at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. All right, still in Hudson, we're going to go over to Story Screen Cinema, which is the three-screen theater that's on Fairview Avenue. Right now, we have Wicked for Good, Wake Up Dead Man, A Knives Out Mystery, 100 Nights of Hero, and Zootopia 2, as well as some repertory screenings. We have Love Actually playing on December 8th, Elf playing on December 14th, a mystery movie on December 15th, and Pride and Prejudice on December 16th.
Love.
You can find out more by going to storyscreenpresents.com.
All right, now heading on up to Crandall, back to the Crandall Theater. She's open again, in case you missed it, over in Chatham. This month we have Wicked for Good, Trading Places, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, The Polar Express, Plane, Trains, and Automobiles, Silent Holiday Films with Live Music with composer Jeff Rapsis, Elf, The Sound of Music, Sentimental Value, Begonia, Home Alone, The Testament of Anne Lee, and Marty Supreme. And if you would like to know more about these films or their showtimes, you can find out more information at crandalltheater.org, but that's TheatreOh.org.
Very Don't good forget. Distinction. Hugely important. All right. Just next door at the Community Theater in Catskill, we have Wicked for Good, Little Amelie or The Character of Rain, and The Hidden Fortress. Upcoming movies are Coln 75, Sentimental Value, First Cow,
yes,
and Wolfwalkers. You can find out more by going to communitytheaterny.com.
I might go see First Cow on Saturday.
I want to.
I know you're working.
So badly.
I know you're working. I think it's playing next week, too. Just something to think about.
I hope. Is it?
I think so. Okay. I think it's on Monday, also.
Okay.
I checked this morning.
Okay. Good.
Because I was just looking, because I want to go. I feel like going to the movies. And I was like, oh,
you're right.
What's going on over at Community Theater?
It is also on Monday.
Just something to think about.
I'm putting it in the calendar right now. If you can't tell, Jenny and I are huge fans of First Cow.
I do really like that at the Community Theater. That's part of the series that they're doing that's like lost to COVID.
Yeah.
Or like movies that came out in 2020 that either didn't get a theatrical release or like
very limited, nobody went
because everyone was scared.
It's so nice.
It's so
that
nice.
They're doing it. Those movies really deserve it.
I know.
I hear amazing things about Wolfwalkers.
I know,
as
me
well.
Too. I never saw it.
I know.
Just like everybody
I hear
else.
It's great. Okay. So tonight, Jenny and I have not done this in a while, but we often have shows where we just talk about what we've been watching lately.
So fun.
Which is like a fun little vacation for us. I mean, it's always fun to be on the airwaves together and with our many, many esteemed guests of the past and the future. But it's nice when we don't pick a theme at all.
Yeah.
And we just get to hear about what the other one's been up to.
It's nice.
In the privacy of their own home.
Exactly. It's nice to catch up, especially the last couple of episodes we've had. We've had guests, which has been so wonderful. It's been so lovely. But like, I don't know what you've been watching lately. I have no idea.
I know.
So exciting.
I know.
How thrilling.
Do you want to, well, I know we're going to talk about maybe the things that we watched during the snowstorm
birthday. Yeah.
My birthday, December 2nd, which was so nice and cozy. But is there anything that you watched before that you, did you?
Yeah.
You saw a new
release.
Oh,
I did. I did watch a new release last weekend.
Okay.
That was before. Okay. I was like, when are we?
I'm dying to know more.
What year is it? yes, last weekend, before the snow. It was before the snow. It really feels like that.
I know.
I have no idea when we are in time.
It's been a long December already.
But you're right. It's been just like the Counting Crows said.
Literally just like that.
Anyway, don't worry about that. I watched last weekend the new Yorgos Lanthimos movie, Begonia, which is playing at a couple of theaters around here, by the way.
Yes.
It is a 2025 release starring Jesse Plemons and Emma Stone. I'm not going to go in too deep because it is brand new, and I do think it benefits from part of the mystery of what's going on in the film. But the general premise is that Jesse Plemons plays a guy who lives with his cousin who is like mentally disabled, and they live in a beautiful little, beautiful is maybe not the right word, but like a little rustic cottage out in the woods. And Jesse Plemons' character, whose name I will pull up, has become convinced that there is a alien presence on Earth, basically, mm-hmm. which is causing all of the current problems that we have. There is a large pharmaceutical corporation that essentially owns the town where he lives, where everybody works. And he has come to believe that the CEO of this company, who's played by Emma Stone, is an alien from space who has come to... I'm not sure exactly what he thinks they're doing, but certainly nothing good to the human population. Yeah. Here for bad reasons. Here to experiment on people.
Although they live aliens.
Yes. Hugely experimenting on people, making the Earth bad. Doing bad things to the Earth. So he, with the help of his sweet cousin, kidnap Emma Stone and interrogate her. Because what he wants is for her to bring him to... the leader of this alien fleet so that he can negotiate with them and also possibly kill them. That's kind of the idea.
Amazing.
It's really fun, actually. I
that's what I want to know is if you liked it.
I did like it. It's not my favorite of his movies at all. Like, I definitely think it has, it's less subtle, and I don't think that he's like really a subtle filmmaker anyway.
No. Yeah.
But it is very, like, it has a lot of humor to it. I personally really jive with the cadence that he writes.
I love it. It's so strange.
And this has a kind of, it actually has like a little bit less of that and more of just that same kind of offbeat, like satirical comedy.
Yeah.
And less of the kind of unusual speech pattern.
Yeah.
But it's still, I still found it really fun. I found it really interesting and entertaining. There's some parts of it that are definitely not as like satirical, but in a way that's kind of like, okay,
yeah,
I got you.
Yeah,
I get it.
This in the year of Eddington.
Yes, totally. Totally. But that being said, I think the performances are really great. I think Jesse Plemons, as always, is incredible.
He's a star.
Emma Stone also doing really good work. I read a couple of reviews that kind of compared it to a play, because it's really kind of a two-hander between the two of them, as they have conversations and kind of like trade power between them,
yeah,
sort of as like their relationship goes on through the movie. I did really enjoy it. It's definitely not my favorite of his, but like, I think it's definitely worth watching. It's like pretty fun.
He's really been on a roll, because didn't Kinds of Kindness, which I did not see.
I did not see it either.
I got to brush up on my Yorgos, but did not see Kinds of Kindness, but I feel like it just came out.
It did. He's really doing one a year right now. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Because right
slow
before
down.
That was
Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really nuts.
Which he really swept up with.
Yeah. He really did. And I do think Emma Stone is, I do really like her, and I think it's interesting, like, she's doing kind of different performances in each of the movies. I haven't seen Kinds of Kindness, but I like that they're working together.
Yeah,
I like the vibe. I think it's good. I do think Begonia is worth watching.
It's always fun when specifically, I mean, for everybody, but like actresses who got their start in like teen movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Like Easy A.
Yes.
And
is she in 21 Jump Street, or is that no is that...
what am I thinking of? It's really good. Super Bad.
Oh. it's really good.
It's a movie. It's like really good. but yeah, she started out as like kind of in these teen movies, teen comedies. And then when they get attached to like a weirdo director, like I feel like K-Stu has followed a very similar path, which I'm like, I love this for you.
Yeah, it's great.
You're making art.
So we were talking about this recently this weekend. I was hanging out with some people and I was remembering in real time that she does a lot of producing now, which is really cool.
Oh.
Like she produced, I saw the TV Glow, which is kind of sick.
Oh, that
and
is
like,
really cool.
Has done a bunch of interesting, weird projects. And I think that that's a really good thing to do if you're a famous rich person.
Yep. It's really
respect it.
It's a really amazing place to put your money.
Yeah, totally.
All
so
of your super bad money.
I dig it. Yeah, all of your super bad money, please. Put it in the hands of the weird filmmakers you like.
Great.
Yeah, I liked Begonia. I think that you would like it too.
Yeah.
I think there are things about it that are kind of like, huh. But none of it is like, oh, I think that was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I am excited to see it. The font that they use for the title is really good.
It's really good. That also, guy is really good at typeface
good at
and design.
Typeface. Also, the begonia, because it's not begonia like the flower. It's spelled like
begonia.
Like begonia. The joke. Like begonia.
Oh, that's the other thing. It is, I believe, a loose adaptation of another movie. I want to say it's called Save the Green Planet. Let me look it up. Which I kind of had heard, but I wasn't sure. And then in the credits, they do say that it's a movie from 2003 called Save the Green Planet that I believe is Korean.
Okay.
And I have heard that Begonia is better. Although I would like to see Save the Green Planet because I think they are slightly different.
Yeah, it's nice to get the original text.
But it's a fun, I like when, I don't know, there's like unusual adaptations of the same source material. I think that's kind of cool.
What's your favorite Yorgos movie that you've seen? I know, I've still never seen Dogtooth, which is a shame.
I've still never seen Dogtooth either. Probably The Lobster, The Favorite. Probably The Favorite.
Yeah.
I love The Favorite.
I know.
That's more, I'm more predisposed to that because it's Gaia.
It's Gaia.
But I do, I think The Lobster's, I also love The Killing of a Sacred Deer, actually.
Oh, I forgot. That's my favorite. That's
so
my
good.
Favorite. Killing of a Sacred Deer is my favorite.
Like
it's so sickening.
It's so sickening. And I do think like that kind of, I think, the last couple of movies, I did not see Kinds of Kindness, but Poor Things and Begonia both feel like really solid, like fun movies, but they don't quite capture the weird energy of, like, I feel
it's like extreme dark humor.
Yes,
like,
totally.
Like that really, the kind of thing where I think a lot of people watching those other movies of his might be like, am I supposed to laugh?
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to feel?
No, laugh. You should be laughing.
When Colin Farrell is blindfolded and spinning around the living room with a gun trying to kill his family randomly at the end of Killing of a Sacred Deer.
It's incredible.
it's so dark, but it's so funny.
It's so funny. And it could also be maybe exposure to his other movies that make me like the newer ones less, but they just feel, it almost feels like he's doing like genre exercises in a way that's fun. Like I like that's what he's doing, is that he's kind of doing, like, he's pivoting into other places instead of just continuing to do these like really bizarre interpersonal like dramas. Instead he's like, okay, what if I do like a weird kind of like Frankenstein-y thing with Poor Things, and then this is more of like a sci-fi thing with Begonia. Like it's kind of a fun, I'm like, oh, what are we doing?
What are you doing
like
there?
I kind of like it, even though I don't think they're as good as his earlier movies.
Does it feel like intentionally trying to make his material more accessible, do you think?
That's a really good question. They do feel way more accessible to me than his
like,
other movies,
for sure. Yeah. I was surprised. I still haven't seen Poor Things either, but I was surprised just knowing his other movies. I was like, oh, wow, this movie is really liked by a lot of people.
Totally. And it's definitely still abrasive. Like, I think many people do not like either of those movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it is like a little more populist in a way. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
Yeah. It's nice.
They're not my favorite, but I think it's kind of an interesting pivot for a director. And it's not like they're more Hollywood either.
No.
They're weirder. They're also still weird.
Yeah.
But they're just like, they're in genre instead of drama.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kinda
so
interesting.
Fun. So fun.
Yeah.
I guess The Favorite also feels like it's starting to go into that
period
piece.
Mm-hmm. I really love The Favorite.
Upstairs, downstairs.
Totally.
It's so fun.
So good.
God, Olivia, what's
Coleman.
Olivia Coleman is
She's so good.
God, it's time to rewatch some Peep Show.
Oh my God. Yeah, for real. Honestly, really. Like in kind of the same genre too. Like unbelievably uncomfortable.
Oh my God. What is her name in it?
Soph.
Soph. Oh, God.
But yeah, that's the one of the newer. I did watch another newer movie, but that's probably the newest movie I watched because it is still available in the theater.
Amazing.
Yeah.
During the snowstorm.
Yes, please.
I watched two movies.
Yes.
The theme, the uniting theme was, of course, Bound by Snow.
Yes, as we all were.
Yeah. Both rewatches. Both really enjoyable. One of them was The Thing, which, you know, how much can I say than anyone has already said?
It's been said. I mean, we love it.
One of those movies that just when I think I've seen it so many times that I'm like, oh, it's a background rewatch, I'm sucked right in. And there's plenty that I don't remember about it. I always forget that they go to the Norwegian camp and they see the giant block of ice that the creature is busted out of.
Cool.
I always forget that they see where it crashed.
Yes.
The crater in the ice.
I also always forget about that. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, this movie's amazing.
And then thinking about all of the things. So I haven't done any specific reading on this, mm-hmm. but all of the things that I feel The Thing inspired that are about like a group of relative strangers trapped somewhere and who is the baddie.
Yes, absolutely. There is there's an imposter among us. Yeah.
Which I feel like maybe it's something even earlier than this, but I feel like The Thing takes its inspiration from an episode of The Twilight Zone, mm-hmm. which is two cops find a crashed spaceship and footprints in the snow leading to a diner.
I remember.
And they go to the diner and everybody looks human, but somebody isn't.
Yeah.
So it's the plot of The Thing, essentially.
I wonder if that was before, because there is, The Thing is also a movie from the
50s. Oh, it's a remake. Yeah,
totally. So I wonder if that might have been right before The Twilight Zone.
It probably is.
I think
60
is more.
I always forget it's a remake.
I know, me too, because it's so good.
It's so good.
And it feels so original and fresh, even though it is obviously I mean, especially now, something that has been retread many times, but the way that it's done in John Carpenter's The Thing is so...
It's so good.
It's kind of the peak of the genre.
I mean, it's where we get Tarantino's Hateful Eight.
Yeah, it's true.
The Thing.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That's completely inspired by The Thing. I mean, it even has Kurt Russell in
it. It's true.
So
that's where we get the X-Files episode Ice from.
Yeah,
it's from The Thing.
Direct reference. It says it on the Wikipedia.
It's so good.
It's so good. Season 1, episode 8?
Something like that. it feels exactly right.
It's so... And then, feeling all that it did for special effects going forward,
dude.
Too. The things, everything in that movie still looks so incredible. None of it feels like you're watching effects that are outdated.
Mm-mm.
It's amazing. I get chills every time. So watch The Thing.
Watch The Thing.
Also watched a little movie called Alive.
Yes,
from 1993.
Dude, have not seen that in a long time.
It's so good. If for those of you who don't know, Alive is based off of a book of the same name that is the true story of a Uruguayan rugby team that their plane that they had chartered crashed in the Andes, and nobody knew where they crashed, and they were stuck up in the snowy Andes for, oh my God, it's a messed up amount of days.
It's really long.
It's like a hunt. It's insane. I'm going to look it up in a second. But it's an amazing movie. It was so fun to rewatch. It's a cast full of that guys. You know what I mean?
Yes.
When you watch a movie,
really
you're
is.
Like, oh,
yeah.
That guy.
It's also really early in most of their careers too, right?
It's true. Yeah, it has John Malkovich plays a character who bookends the movie with some narration. He's retelling the story. He's one of the survivors, but it's got a little baby Ethan Hawke, Josh Hamilton, Ileana Douglas, who is in, I was thinking about her, is in Cape Fear. She's Nick Nolte's coworker slash mistress.
Yes, totally.
Who doesn't fare so well. Produced by Kathleen Kennedy, directed by Frank Marshall. It's an amazing movie. It's an excellent movie to watch when you're bound in snow. It really, it does an amazing job at showing you how awful the situation is.
Yeah.
The story is also famous because the survivors of the crash did have to resort to eating the dead to survive. There was just no other way.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, they see a plane fly ahead, and they think for sure they're getting rescued, so they eat the rest of their food, being so sure that they're going to get rescued. But the plane, in fact, did not see them. And
so sad.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember my facts. But, yeah, there's there was 29 people who died and 16 survivors.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. But an incredible survival movie, a huge fave in my household growing up, a family who loves stories about the triumph of the human spirit.
Yes, absolutely. It is so, I mean, that's the thing, is that it is, like, obviously it would be really easy to make a, like, really sad, bleak, gross movie about that. But yeah. I remember Alive being actually very, like, sweet.
It is. And it has that kind of, they don't make them like this anymore heart to it, where it's such a dark story, and, you know, because it's based on a true story, there's, like, this extra weight to it when you're watching
it.
But it's fun to watch the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good time.
It's a well-made, entertaining movie about, it's also, like, I mean, it's so much about their relationships with each other.
Yeah.
And it really is, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
I love Alive.
Like, the coach of the rugby team, like, because he, or not the coach, sorry, the captain, kind of taking the lead in the survival effort, but then there's oh my God, horrible things happen in these poor guys. There's an avalanche bunch of people. They're living inside of the wreck of the plane, and the avalanche, of course, dislodges that and fills it with snow, and the captain dies, and every time you lose somebody, you really feel it.
Yeah.
Ugh. Sorry. There was 45 people on the flight and only 16 survived. Oof. And it was 72 days of sub-zero temperatures.
That's so crazy. That's so long.
72 days. Every time I'm cold,
cold. I'm fine. Did you see the one that came out last year, the year before, Society of the Snow?
No, I didn't.
Me neither. I didn't. I heard it's pretty good, though. The other thing that I'll say, which far be it for me to suggest another audio medium here while we're on the radio, but there's a podcast that I'm kind of like 50-50 on, you're wrong about.
Yeah.
But they did an episode where this woman comes on who's like a dog sled racer.
Oh,
which is really cool. And she comes on to tell the story.
Oh my God.
A kind of a well-researched version of what actually happened. Like the story of Alive.
Yeah.
And it's really good. Like, it made me cry listening to
it,
which doesn't happen that much.
Well, some of these these almost unbelievable true stories, when they're adapted into movies, there's actually facts that are left out that are actually more insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than what really happened.
You have to make it work for a movie.
You have to. There's stuff you can't include in there. Yeah, just for how you tell a story that's entertaining, that keeps people engaged.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. It did make me think about how there's not a good Donner Party movie.
I know. This is
what's the deal?
What I'm literally always asking. I feel like Ravenous is the best Donner Party movie we have.
It's the closest
we have.
Isn't
about the Donner Party.
Yeah, it's the closest we have. But yeah,
when will somebody do us a favor and make us a really good Donner Party
and
movie?
It's like, not out of respect. It's like, we made the Titanic movie.
Yeah.
We made Alive.
Yeah, totally. And that wasn't even that long afterward.
Yeah.
Like, Alive's like, what, it was like 20 years later?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, right? Like, at the crashes in the 70s.
Yeah, totally. The movie's from the 90s.
Yep.
It's time for somebody to make a Donner Party movie, please. I beg of you.
Producers and directors out there listening.
We know you're out there.
Come on.
We see the number of listeners.
It's
on the radio here. It's one. Yeah, it's one really important producer who's writing this down and going and calling every connection they have in their Rolodex.
Exactly.
And they're saying, oh my God, we got to get this off the ground.
Oh my God, it'd be so good.
We got to get this on the wagon.
The costumes.
It's so good. It's just a really good idea.
It's
opening night.
I know.
That's all I'll say.
I'm putting my intention out into the universe.
It's time to manifest a good Donner Party movie. Yeah. To be clear, a good one.
Yeah, I think there
are
some
one.
Like C-level horror movies about the Donner Party. It's not what I want.
You watched one of the documentaries,
I did.
Right?
I watched the PBS documentary,
right.
Which was great.
Yeah, I gotta watch
that. I'll never
that.
Forget it, because there's like one of the survivors in a letter she wrote to one of... So if you don't know the story of the Donner Party, it was a wagon party moving westward to California, and the leader of the party decided to take a cutoff through some mountains, and it was the wrong time of year to do that, and they got snowed in, and they also had to resort to eating the dead. Maybe some people murdered. Some stuff happened. But one of the survivors, in a letter to one of her family members, wrote, "Hurry along fast and don't take no cutoffs."
Dude, it's so good.
So good.
A chill runs down my spine.
It's so good. But yeah, I would highly recommend watching Alive. It's a really good movie. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's horrifying, but there is still a lot of heart.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story.
Can I tell you what I watched while I was snowed in?
Please.
I didn't watch much, but I did watch Finally, as was my homework for the Let's Scare Each Other episode. I finally watched The Treasure of Abbott Thomas, which is a ghost story for Christmas. Which, if you don't know, you may have heard in one of our other most recent episodes that there was a BBC series in the 70s called A Ghost Story for Christmas, which were pretty short, like 40 minutes or so episodes, movies, short films.
Yeah, short films.
That were horror, but took place during the wintertime usually, or at least had a little kind of spooky, cozy British element to them.
It's a British tradition, an old British tradition, to tell ghost stories at midnight on Christmas Eve.
So good. It's a really good tradition.
I think they used to air on the BBC late at night on Christmas Eve.
So good.
I think. Yeah, might have to check me on that. But a lot of them are based off of M.R. James stories.
Yeah.
Which I've never read any, but
me neither.
Sounds like I should.
This one is also based on an M.R. James. It is directed by Lawrence Gordon Clark. It is about a fussy old reverend. They're always about like a fussy little British guy.
Yeah, it's a fussy guy learning his lesson.
Yes, learning that he should not be so bold.
Yeah.
And he is a reverend who is studying kind of classical depictions of saints. And he and his pupil, who's this younger guy, maybe doesn't even have a name.
He's the young guy.
The two of them are studying these stained glass images in an old church, looking for a supposed buried hidden treasure of Abbott Thomas. And after much research and fussing about, the younger guy is very much like a believer in ghosts and mysteries, and the older reverend is not a believer.
He's a skeptic.
He's very much a skeptic, and he's also a fuddy-duddy. The younger guy is like taking photos, which is new technology because the movie takes place probably, I assume, in like the 1910s.
Yeah.
And so he's like using a very old-fashioned camera to take a photograph on like silver of the stained glass windows, and the reverend is like, I'll trust my drawings, actually. He hand draws it instead. It's very good. It's like such good, like, stupid British guys.
This guy sucks. He's like, so they really let you have it.
It's so fun.
You're not supposed to like this guy.
But after some research and examining very closely these drawings, they start to put together that perhaps the treasure is buried in a culvert nearby. And it's like really fun because it's like triangulating, like it's kind of like a puzzle solving movie.
You get the
movie.
Treasure hunting in it, which
delicious.
Is always so fun.
Yeah. And then I won't say too much, but the reverend.
I'll say it all.
Oh, I'm going to say it all then. It's only 37 minutes long.
It's really old.
It's really old. The reverend decides one night to go investigate the treasure by himself. He goes out in the light of the moon into this culvert, which is behind a locked gate underneath one of the churches that they were looking at. And he busts open the gate and starts walking down through this tunnel. And as he walks, he slowly starts to see mysterious things around him. There's slugs everywhere. He's catching glimpses as though somebody's following him. And then he's counting his steps because that's how he's kind of figured out where this treasure is supposed to be. And as he rounds up the last couple of steps, he gets to a little opening in the wall and he decides to start hammering at the wall. And what should happen? but a bunch of ooze comes out and covers him in some goo. Oh. And there's some mysterious hands that come out of nowhere and start grabbing him. And it's really scary. And he gets really scared and he runs home. And it feels like the ooze is following him the whole way. And there's some kind of creature that he seems to have unlocked from this culvert. So he locks himself up in his room and no one can get him to come out. But he keeps seeing ooze in the hallway coming through under the doorway. And I'm going to leave it there. I'll let you find out how it ends by watching it yourself.
Yeah, it's so, it is actually kind of hard to describe the terror in those.
They're very vibey.
Because, yeah, they are, they're very vibey. They do get filed under folk horror for good, for most of them, like, which makes a lot of sense because it's a lot of, like, don't mess with the old ways. Like, or, like, leave things as they are. Yes.
You should not be digging under that culvert.
Do not do that. You've been seeing a hooded figure.
Oh, that's right. They do see the hooded figure a bunch of times before that.
There's like a dark cloaked figure that you assume is just like a monk in this abbey.
In like the
studying.
Library. Yeah, totally.
But the camera lingers. And yeah, they are very vibey. It is a lot of... just leaning into...
It's like stylish editing version of scary, which I love. It is like my preferred version of scariness.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the very end of that scared me so much, and I hope it scared you too.
It scared me very much, which is why I'm like, I think you should watch it. Because I know I can say confidently that one of our usual listeners does want to see it. So I'm going
to wait. Okay. I will. I won't say anything then.
But I do. I just love the thing. Because the only other one of those, that series, A Ghost Story for Christmas, that I've seen is Whistle and I'll Come to You. And has a really similar, we talked about this in one of our more recent episodes, but it's very similarly like, there's no fancy scares in it. Like it's very, it's just a guy going about his business and then really, really effective editing and set dressing to make him feel like he is in an other world.
Yeah.
And there's just like sudden close-ups and kind of fast cuts and kind of mysterious, difficult to discern frames thrown in that make it feel very off-putting.
Yeah.
And it's all in black and white because they're all from like the 60s and 70s. So they feel, there's also this kind of agedness to them that make them feel like you're seeing something you shouldn't be seeing. Yep. And it's just so effective.
It's
like
so effective.
It's so fun. I did also really love the scene where the Reverend is going through the culvert in the tunnel. It's like very much, it's cutting very quickly between like a shot of the wall moving, like him moving along the wall, and then like creatures in the culvert. Like he keeps seeing slugs over and over again, and like just like an image of something slimy and like hands behind him. And it really reminded me of not the film adaptation, but the novel Annihilation, which has the tower.
Inverted tower.
Yes. There's like an ongoing like kind of theme where characters go into this tower, which is a tunnel going down. And as they do, mysterious things happen to them, and it has like a really like this, I was like, oh, this would be such like, if only this guy could have adapted Annihilation.
Oh,
also
I know,
like, it's such a good way to like get that kind of uncanny feeling across.
It doesn't over describe
visually. No,
like,
not at all.
It really,
it's very vague.
It treats you like a smart viewer who is like it draws you in and it has you where it wants you, and you're kind of ready to lean into what it's gonna, and it's not holding your hand and telling you exactly what's going on. It's just, it does rely so much on the editing.
Yes,
like
exactly.
A lot of,
and what's implied. Like,
yeah,
you're totally
what's
right.
Implied. Yeah. Like you're already there.
Yeah.
You're ready to be scared.
Yeah, and
you
it's
know
like you're
it's
watching.
Not.
It's also because it is so spare. It's just like these like four actors in like three sets.
Yeah,
it is so. You are so focused on what they are doing in every single element of each frame that you are like, you're locked in. Like you see that weird hooded figure in the library and you're like, that's not just some guy.
No.
Like I know,
why are you making me look at that guy?
I know that he's important.
Yeah.
Because there's only four actors in this.
And you're making me look.
Yes.
You're making me look at
you're
him.
You're making me look at him. It was so fun. It was so fun to watch on a snow day. I was like,
they're so good. Yeah. They're really, all of the ones I've seen, and I haven't seen all of them. I've actually still never seen Whistle and I'll Come to You, but I've seen a good amount of the original Ghost Stories for Christmas. And they're all so good at encapsulating the feeling of I feel like I'm being watched. Mm-hmm. Am I?
Yeah.
Like, yes. Maybe I am. Yes.
And like, maybe it's by a person. Maybe it's something cosmic. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
They do have a little bit of that cosmic horror. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in actually what they're trying mm-hmm. to convey, but in how they do it.
Yeah.
Just using editing and vibes to explain something kind of unexplainable.
Yeah, it's that crossover between folk horror and cosmic horror, which are like, there's something like unnatural
and beyond
going on
comprehension.
Here, but beyond, yeah, exactly. Like beyond my human experience. Yeah.
Which is the really old cool. gods.
The old gods. Ah.
Yeah. So
scary.
Good.
So fun.
The other one that I told you to watch is called A Warning to the Curious.
That's right. I need to watch
and
that one.
And it is a very similar setup. There's mm-hmm. some treasure hunting involved.
Love. Amazing.
And there is also a figure in the distance. Perhaps it's another person who's taking a stroll like you are. But also, are they getting closer?
Oh my God. I just want to throw up. I love that
It's so good. I know. I got to maybe watch one tonight.
That's the other thing it reminds me of, I guess a little bit of that hooded figure, and then also in Whistle and I'll Come to You, and it sounds like also in A Warning to the Curious, is the VHS footage in Prince of Darkness, which is like some of the scariest stuff I've ever seen. It's so good. That's all I'll say about that. But if you haven't seen Prince of Darkness, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
It's really
fun. There is. Okay. So, you know, we've talked about it maybe even on one of our episodes in October about mm-hmm. A movie that really scares us both that we love is Lake Mungo.
Yes, totally.
Which I feel like also employs, like, we have a lower budget. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have a lot, but like they do a lot with very little about what they're trying to scare you with and what they're trying to tell you. And, the pinnacle scare in that, the thing that you see in this footage, reminds me a lot of some of the kind of the peak scares in some of Ghost Stories for Christmas, where it's all of a sudden I'm seeing this image. The character is seeing this thing.
Yes.
Neither of us know what's happening.
It's such a good tool. Like the, using a vague image of something that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a good way to really scare you without like doing too much.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about another thing I watched last night?
Yeah.
Which does this, but in the bad way.
I also just really quick want to tell people, you can watch all of the Ghost Stories for Christmas on YouTube.
Yes. They're all on YouTube. I believe I think the Sleepover Trading guys, Robbie and Vito, were just telling us that they were recently collected into a set. I think the BBC finally actually released them because they were hard to find for a long time.
They were really hard to find, and especially if you don't have an all-region player.
Yes, which not I.
I don't either.
I don't have a player at all.
That is huge.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, so I watched a movie last night, which I had heard about.
Is it the Keira Janis one?
No. Okay, no. Sorry. I watched a movie that's not very good. A new horror movie that feels like it's trying to do all of these things, but it just like simply does not know what it's doing. Uh-huh. It's called Shelby Oaks.
Oh, did you see Shelby Oaks? I have not seen it yet.
I had heard that people didn't like it.
I also heard that people didn't like it, but the trailers really got me.
The
I was ready.
Fun. And I will say the first 30, 35 minutes of it, pretty fun.
That's what Rob and Guido said.
Pretty fun.
They said that I would like the first 30 minutes.
Yes, that's right. I totally forgot that we had that conversation. Erased it. So this is a new film, just came out. It is directed by a YouTuber. And I had heard that some people who like him really like it, and a lot of other people did not like it very much.
Yeah.
So last night when I got home kind of late and I didn't have a lot of time, and I have a new kitten in my house who requires a lot of attention, I was like, let me put this on, not expecting to like it, but like, you know, kind of being like, okay, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to sit down and feel a little scared while I also like wave a little mouse around to entertain my cat. It is us trying so hard to be good, which is like heartbreaking, actually.
Oh, man.
It's one of those movies where it's so overstuffed with horror references, but like, it's not actually doing any of them.
No.
It's such a bummer.
Oh, no.
I am going to try to give a summary, but frankly, it's kind of incoherent.
Do it.
It's the premise that it opens with is really cool. It starts with like almost a mockumentary style, or just documentary, I guess, actually, documentary style of a story about a young woman who was the host of a YouTube series called, I want to say, Paranormal Paranoids. She and her a group of her friends investigate like paranormal locations and do little videos about it. And then she goes missing. And 12 years pass and nobody finds her or ever hears from her again. However, the other people who she worked with on her YouTube series are found dead in a cabin, murdered.
Ooh.
And so it starts with this really fun, like, collage of, like, fake news footage and, you know, interviews with people talking about her and what happened and what they think happened to her and the mystery of it. And so it's like, that is very compelling, and you're like, ooh, like, what is it? Like, it kind of, it almost has like a like Hell House LLC energy.
I was just thinking,
which
about.
I really like.
I really
like
it too.
Fun, and I think I can like really dig a found footage film like that too. Yeah. It's also kind of documentary style, and then it makes this really kind of interesting stylistic choice where it, I think it's like 20 minutes in, it does the title drop, and then it switches to actually a film instead of documentary style.
Oh.
And then you're like following the people instead. And but not the girl who disappeared, her sister, who's now looking for her.
Okay.
At 12 years later.
Okay.
So she kind of, a man mysteriously shows up to her door, shoots himself in the head, says something mysterious, and has a tape in his hand.
Okay.
And she, the police come, take him away. She's like horrified, of course.
Yeah.
This is the sister of the girl who's gone missing. She takes the tape out of his hand before the cops find it. And puts it in her VHS player, or her VCR. And it is a video of the murder that happens of her sister's friends.
Okay.
And there is, it's like the last known footage of her sister also before she disappears, basically. So then she is set off on this investigation where she's trying to figure out what happened to her. And like, now she has this other piece of evidence to try to find her sister. It is like almost really interesting.
Damn it.
Like,
so I, close. So
like, close. I was compelled. Like, I kept having to pay attention to my cat, and I was like, shh, I'm trying to watch the movie. I'm trying to watch the movie. Because there's, like, a lot of fun, kind of scary scenes where, like, she goes to investigate in an old prison where, like, the mysterious man was for a long time. And, like, it's in this town of Shelby Oaks, which is where her sister disappeared. And she starts to see mysterious things, and it all kind of ties back to a mysterious experience they had in their childhood. But there's nothing of substance. Like, it's all...
It just spread too thin.
It's spread too thin. It's so overstuffed with tropes that there's, like, nothing actually happening. And, like, by the time it gets to the end, I'm like, who are these people? Like, I don't care about them at all. And it's such a bummer because, like...
When it's so close, it hurts
so,
so
bad.
It's
so close. And it's like, I can tell that this guy loves horror movies because it's quoting all of them.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't have... Like, in some ways, it's refreshing that it doesn't have the, like, kind of new horror thing that we're dealing with right now where everything is about, like, family trauma.
Yeah.
But... That being said, none of the characters have any personality.
Which is...
So it's like, who are you? Why are you being haunted by this thing? What's happening? Like, it doesn't matter to me that there's a reason for this to be happening to you, but it matters to me that you have a character.
Yeah.
And that I care about you being haunted by it.
Yeah.
It also feels like it has a little bit of... I'm not quite sure how to put my finger on it, but it feels... It definitely has, like, a little bit of a, like... weird relationship with women. Like, in the way that horror movies often do.
Yeah, like, classically do,
but it's not doing anything with that in this way where I'm like, huh. You're kind of, like, quoting things like Rosemary's Baby, but you don't have a point of view at all.
Yeah, and you, like kind of can't throw that in there without that.
No, not at all. And it's, and to be, that's, like, not a spoiler because it's quoting literally 500 movies. Like, it's impossible for me to spoil this movie because it does every single thing. It's kind of annoying. I did not think it was very good.
It sounds kind of annoying.
In fact, I thought it was quite bad.
That's what everyone said. And it, like we're saying, it's such a bummer when it's so close. Because all we want... Yeah, like, the problem that we talk about all the time is we're getting a little tired of family trauma-based horror.
Yeah.
And then also, on the other hand, we are still getting movies where everybody sucks and nobody cares about them. And when that's a slasher, it's fine.
Totally. But this
is
totally
fine. Yeah. But when it's... Yeah, when it's anything other than a slasher, like... Even the Blair Witch Project, perfect movie.
Totally.
The three people lost in the woods.
Oh, they're terrible.
I don't need to know. They're terrible. I don't need to. We don't know anything about their families, really. But they're acting with each other and their relationship with each other is good enough.
Yes.
That I'm interested.
It's like substantive. Like, even though we don't know that much about them as individuals, like, we know, we learn from the way they interact with each other what. Like, that they do care about each other, that they are full people, they have
personalities. They seem real.
They seem real. They feel real. Really real.
And I don't need to know about their family trauma to make them real.
Not at all. Like, it's just...
But I also need a little something.
Yeah. Like, this... Shelby Oaks is really only following this one woman, the sister. Her name is Mia, I think. I can't remember who the actress is. And the actress does, like, a great job. Like, she's doing a lot with very little.
Yeah.
But, like, she's alone pretty much the entire time. So we have no... She has no point of view. It's like she doesn't have anybody to talk to. We don't see. She is just like launching herself into these horrible situations with like clearly no like she seemingly has no personality and no fear whatsoever. And I'm like, who are you? Yeah. Like, if you're not scared, I'm not scared.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Right. The characters in Blair Witch Project, they're scared, and that's what's telling me that I should be scared. And they seem so real in that they're like annoying and terrible, but in a really real way. So they seem so real that their fear seems realistic to me.
Exactly. Yeah. This has no, it just feels very vacuous, which is like, it sucks. It's a bummer. I had fun watching it because I was like, I want to know why everybody hates this.
And I'm still
like,
going to watch it.
Yeah. I think you should watch it because it's like fun to watch.
100% still going to watch it because it sounds fun.
It's like entertaining, but I watched it because it's really short and I didn't have a lot of time because it was like 9:30. I want to say it's like 90 minutes, but it's actually 80 minutes because there's 10 minutes of credits because he thanks all the people who like did the Kickstarter.
Oh,
which is really cute. But I'm also like, oh, this movie's like so short. Like, it ended and I was like, oh, that's it. Okay. That's how we're ending it. Okay. All right. Interesting choice. It's really bad.
Oh man. I am in constant need of horror movies that are not so bad that I wish I could reverse my life and get that time back.
It's
but
like
are
that.
Bad enough that I don't need to pay attention.
Yeah. Super
constantly
perfect,
looking for those.
Literally perfect for either entertaining a little kitten or like working if you're doing handwork or something.
Exactly.
Great handwork movie. And then like you look up when it sounds like something scary is happening. And then it does a bad jump scare and you're like, okay, fine. And you can look back down at what you were doing.
Amazing. The reason I was like, oh, is it the Keira Janis movie?
Yeah.
Is there is this amazing woman, film critic and all around cool, smart theorist lady, author named Keira Janis, who I think is Canadian. And she is responsible for the folk horror documentary Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched, which is how I know about Ghost Stories for Christmas. She just made a movie that just came out called The Occupant of the Room, which is based off of an Algernon Blackwood story that is like everyone's saying is that it's like it's in the Ghost Story for Christmas tradition.
So cool. I heard that she had
so
a movie
I'm
out,
see
but
it.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
Yeah. I'm really trying to see it. We don't have a ton of time.
We don't. Look at
I'll
us go.
Tell you, I rewatched the movie Speed Racer. Ugh. You're going to wait till we have in theaters, which
that's
we
true.
Will.
I know. It's going to happen. I know that's
influence.
Like such a crazy thing to say, but I know somebody's going to screen
it
around
It's actually
here.
Not an insane thing to say. I had a great time. I got a little STONED.
Ooh, fun. Perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal now in the state of New York. I had an amazing time. I
yes,
did see it when it came
really
out in
fun.
The theater in 2008. For those of you out there, you should be like Jenny and wait for it to play in a theater. And when it does, you
must go.
I believe you should go.
You're right. Actually, I believe one should go.
I believe that one might enjoy going.
Might enjoy going.
To the theater.
If one might like to do such
to
a thing.
See Speed Racer, the Wachowski sisters movie. There is no other movie like it. That is what I will say. There are a lot of movies that take really hard aesthetic swings and successfully so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about things like The Fifth Element.
Yes, totally.
Where there's nothing else like it.
Nope. Yep. She's
and
special.
It has that. It's,
oh my God.
bonkers, yo.
I'm so sad. I missed it when it came out because I wasn't paying attention. And then it was there a couple years ago. So now I'm like, maybe it was the 15th anniversary or something. A bunch of theaters around here all screened it and I missed it for some reason.
People weren't ready when it came. When I saw it in 2008, my friend and I were like, well, that was weird.
I know. It didn't.
People
you
weren't
know,
ready.
We didn't know.
We didn't know yet.
We didn't know yet.
It's so special.
I gotta watch it. I'm thrilled to someday catch it. The other thing was like I would even give in and watch it on my big TV at home, but I want to like give it the space it deserves.
You're correct. We pulled my TV off my wall to get closer.
Yes, must get closer.
You're correct to wait. It's gonna happen. That was and I will go with you.
Let's go. Maybe I'll screen it for just a random, like to have something to look forward to in like March.
That's such a good idea.
Just like a little treat. A little treat.
What are you looking forward to watching maybe when you go home tonight?
That's such a good question. My partner is rewatching Grey's Anatomy right now, and I have started to watch a little bit of it with him. And that's been very fun. It's like very delicious and like so smooth brain, the smoothest brain of our on earth.
It's so nice.
But I don't know. That's such a good question.
Last night, my partner and I got home very late from a late dinner.
Yes.
And we just ate a huge meal. Yeah. You can't go right to being horizontal.
No.
So we need a little time. And we watched like the first 15 minutes of Cliffhanger.
Oh my God.
Which is another great snow movie.
I've never seen Cliffhanger.
Oh, if you decide not to watch Grey's Anatomy, might I please recommend watching Cliffhanger?
Absolutely. That
it
sounds
is
great.
Another movie that is just pure fun and is also beautiful.
Yes.
Another movie with amazing special effects and this time like stunt effects.
Yeah, totally.
Ugh. That are just seamless. And I'm also like, how did they do that?
It's magic.
How
it's
did they
magic.
Make somebody fall off a mountain?
They do,
and it looks so real.
They actually just pushed a guy off the mountain.
Like, I think they maybe
they might
did
have, actually.
I think they maybe
we're
did.
Uncovering something here.
It's so good.
Oh, I gotta
it's
watch
so
it.
So fun. And it's also a heist movie.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's been on my list for like 100 years because it's just like, you know, it's just a movie. It's a movie that lots of people
you're like
see.
I got time.
I'm like, one of these days I'm gonna watch. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna be, you know, on surfing channels.
Yeah.
But it's like, we don't surf channels anymore. You have to intentionally find Cliffhanger.
Yeah. I recommend.
That sounds amazing. This is reminding me that the snow this week, I've been thinking so much about rewatching The Terror, which is, again, is not a movie, but
that's okay. It's our show. We get to talk about whatever we want
to a movie. That's what if a movie was 10 hours long.
Yeah. Well, it's also another thing that gets us the closest we can come to the Donner Party.
Yes, it's true. Actually, very. You're right. Very Donner Party adjacent. It's speaking to it.
Yeah.
We just love it when people are in dire situations and have no choice but to eat their friends.
For those of you who don't know, The Terror is a TV show. There are technically two seasons, but they are entirely different stories. You can just watch one or the other, but the first season is the one that we're referring to, which is a show that is based off of a novel of the same name, which is also based off of the true story of two ships trying to reach the North Pole that get trapped in the ice, a la Shackleton, but a whole lot happens.
A whole lot happens.
We also...
The Franklin Expedition.
Yes.
For those who know.
Which they actually just finally recently found.
Yes, they found some bits.
Those ships.
They found some
including
stuff.
The bones of some of the crew members that were indeed eaten.
Exactly. I love it so much. It is like perfect winter watching because it is so cold for them. And I'm so warm in my apartment with a little cozy blanket wrapped around me.
So cozy. And
it's this time of year. I'm like, ooh, all I want to watch is like these boys getting into such trouble.
Yeah.
It's so bad for them.
The other shortlist movies, of course, were like the big ones. There's obviously always The Shining, but then also in the King universe, Misery.
Yes, totally.
Is another good one. And I actually, in the last couple of years, I've been really obsessed with Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Like, not like, I'm not watching Matlock.
I was literally about to, I was like, are you watching Matlock?
I'm not watching Matlock. It's just
Maddie Matlock.
80s and 90s Kathy Bates got done so dirty because we still, and especially then, have such bad attitudes about fat women.
It's true.
But Kathy Bates is honestly one of the most strikingly beautiful faces
she
I've
is.
Ever seen.
Yes, she's gorgeous.
She's so beautiful.
Yes, and she's also so talented.
She's so talented. But they were like, you can just play the freaks.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That's fine. But
we weren't giving those, like, her, women like her leading women roles, which is really screwed up, in my opinion.
Or no, if they were, they were like, you're going to play a baddie.
The scary lady in Misery.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Misery is so good.
It's so good. It's been fun. It's been a second since I've rewatched it, too. That's a really good call.
Yeah. It's another great snow.
Wow.
I know.
I love the movies.
I love the movies so much.
Yeah. I'm really excited to get out there and go to the theater, too, because I haven't been in a while. It's time to go back.
I know. I also haven't been in a while. And it's beyond time. What are you trying to see other than First Cow?
First Cow, I'm trying to see. I would like to see Sentimental Value.
Yeah.
I'm so sad I missed The Mastermind. It's okay. I'll be okay. I don't know. There's a bunch of other stuff coming out.
I know. I'm stoked for it. My finger's not on the pulse.
I know. We just read them and I've already forgotten
them all. If I had legs, I'd kick you.
I watched that and I really liked it.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I think you would really dig it.
This
has pretty much been
Dim Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We always have a good time with you.